WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning we are focusing on Rutherford County. So if you have a question dealing with Rutherford County, this is the day to call. If it's a question dealing with Smyrna, Laverne, Eagleville, Murfreesboro, don't call on that one. Because our county mayor is with us this morning, Bill Ketron. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Byron. How are you?
Doing great. Good to have you with us today.
Glad to be here. Thank you for inviting us.
And so much happening in Rutherford County. We continue to grow. And the word is out, this is the happening place. I couldn't believe the unemployment rates. I mean, we are really, somebody said if you have 6% unemployment, everybody basically who wants to work has a job. We're in 2.1%, is that
2.1%
right?
2.1% record levels, probably in best in the last 40, 50 years.
It's amazing. I don't remember anything like that before. It's amazing. It truly is. How can we keep that up? Or do we need, is that good to have? I don't know.
Well, growth is good.
Right.
it is good. Everybody has a job and not collecting unemployment. For those, like you say, who want to work, they can find a job.
Mm-hmm.
And you still see help wanted signs everywhere, restaurants, businesses, now hiring signs. With the growth also comes other issues, homelessness, drugs, crime, et cetera. So those are things that we have to put dollars behind to try to eliminate, the homelessness. As you've seen, our population around the square has increased. The number of drugs. I was talking to my director of ambulance services, the EMS, and he said they can tell about every 2 weeks when a new shipment of drugs comes into the community because of the overdoses that are occurring. So these are the problems with growth because everybody wants to have a piece of the action, and there's expendable money, and that's where they can sell their contraband.
What do you think is the biggest challenge right now for Rutherford County?
Well, it summed up in one word is growth, because it's all-encompassing. But then you've got, on top of that, I say the top three issues is our landfill. What are we going to do about that? What are we going to do with our schools? And what are we going to do about traffic?
Okay.
Those are probably the top three main issues that we're trying to deal with, and all the governments. The city of Murfreesboro, Smyrna, et cetera. Eagleville doesn't, even their one red light is getting busy at times.
Well, let's start with the one that was right on the top there, landfill.
Mm-hmm.
We all see the Walter Hill landfill getting close to its end. Now, that's sort of a floating date. We don't know what it is.
Correct.
5 years, 8 years, 6 years, who knows? But when it comes, and it will, it's going to cost each and every one of us a huge amount of money.
Last Friday, I assembled all the mayors and city managers from Murfreesboro, Smyrna, Laverne, and Eagleville, myself from the county. And I wanted everybody around the county to give some type of commitment. Yes, we're in, because this is going to take a countywide effort. It's not just Rutherford County carrying the ball, and it's not just, as in the last administration, it was Rutherford County and somewhat Murfreesboro. Murfreesboro kind of backed out of that deal because they didn't feel like they had a seat at the table. And, of course, Smyrna, Laverne, Eagleville, they don't have trash service like the city of Murfreesboro does. So they're sitting down there, why do we want to pay anything? Just let the private haulers continue to pick up our people's trash. But handling the waste stream in Rutherford County, it's every person's going to have to participate, you know, in some form of recycling. We're thinking right now that and we're going to get back together in a couple of weeks. What is the best form of governance to oversee the waste stream? Do we put together a public solid waste authority and have a representative from each one of the municipalities and the county on that, trying to direct how we handle that? We're looking at probably composting and a heavy recycling facility would be the most inexpensive way. And then we go attack the elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, and commercial businesses first, and go through a lot of education of trying to get people to recycle before we start down the road with curbside recycling. That's the hardest part of the puzzle, is to get people to participate in curbside recycling.
How do you think that can be accomplished? Because it didn't catch on last
time.
It
didn't work last time, but as the city has recently started charging $5 and they're talking about going to $10 per person, you know, there's got to be some skin in the game. So when people start having to pay some form of utility bill to handle their waste stream, then that's the only way you're going to get it done. If people think it's free, they're not going to participate.
Well, in the county, you haven't had anything, haven't paid anything because you didn't get any service, but you had convenience centers.
We have convenience centers, and it may come down, we don't know this at this point, Bart, but it may come down to where they, too, will have to start paying just to take their trash to our convenience centers.
And that has happened already, hasn't it, at the electronic waste one over on Haley Road, or is that
Yeah, that's correct. If you take old TVs, you know, electronics, you have to pay based on the weight or the type of electronic device that you're taking back. It could be $5, $10, or $30.
How has that been accepted, paying?
Well, people don't have any choice because they sure can't put it in their dumpster. You know,
so they're not doing it. They're not trying to sneak stuff in the dumpsters then?
No. I think most people are coming over there and paying it, and it's actually costing us. We have to write a check. I'm the chief purchasing agent for the county, and I write a check every month to some company to come and pick up all that stuff and haul it off.
Well, now, let me ask you this, because we have an unknown date of when the landfill is going to be full, mm-hmm. and whatever we go toward, whatever solution we go toward, even if it's going to take our garbage outside the county to some other place, we have to be ready for it when the landfill closes.
You are correct, and that's why we need to start now. And I think that meeting last Friday was our first. You know, back in February, we actually went out and went to San Jose, California, and looked at recycling facilities and composting facilities out there. That was our first step. Friday was our second step, and at least we're moving forward. And we have to do something. We can't kick the can down the road like we've been doing for the last 20, 30 years. We've got to step up and do something now. Even if we started today and we had funding available, everybody checked off on it, and whatever type of facility, it would take 2 years minimum just to build a facility. You know, if it's a recycling facility, it's going to take that long. Composting, same thing. So if we've got 5 years or 6 years, you're 2 years into before you start doing anything by building a facility, and we're not even close to coming together and finding a piece of property and doing that. So we could be bumping up against the wall of that thing closing in Middle Point.
Let's take a phone call. Good morning. You're on WGNS with County Mayor Bill Ketron. Good morning.
Good morning. I did not mean to call the on-air line. I apologize. Have a good day.
Okay. Our phone number, 615-893-1450. If you want to call the on-air line, that's the number to call. If you don't want to be on the air, like that man said, don't call that line. 615-893-1450. We also take text messages on that same number. You determine what it's going to be, a phone call or a text. All at 615-893-1450. What about the school situation? That was the number two issue of the three big ones that you have.
Mm-hmm.
How are we doing all that? We're building a new school, seems like, every year.
We'll be opening this August. We'll be opening two. The city will be opening one. So you're correct, Bart. I mean, it's almost one a year, and with the prices of what schools, this new school out in Rockville, we thought it was going to run us $58 million by the time the bids came in, and the contractor settled upon it's $72 million.
Whew.
So that's a chunk of money. And the tough part is people don't really realize that if we're getting 23 people a day moving into our community, was the last numbers we got a few weeks ago from the Chamber of Commerce. So it's 23 people a day moving in. And so if you came in here from California or Florida and bought a house today, you really don't pay any. You put your kids into school, right, for a whole year before you have to pay any taxes,
right?
Which would be not due until December and cut off in February. So we're really not getting anything from you, but we're providing those services in advance. And the homeowners and businesses are paying in the rear. So we're having to front that money, you know, on the backs of property tax or sales tax are the only basically two sources of revenue counties have.
I tell you, we were over at a local business in the area around Franklin Road the other day, and the owner of the business says, you need to take a few minutes and drive out to the new Rockville High School. He said, you won't believe it.
It's huge.
And I drove out there. I couldn't believe it. It is huge. It is. Two stories. Really long.
Mm-hmm.
And just huge, period.
Yeah.
But beautiful. I mean,
it's
going to
be a nice school.
Great really stadium.
Yes, sir.
Oh, boy.
And you've got the middle school and the elementary right across
right,
the road.
Right there. Yeah,
you know, so
this is sort of in the backyard, I guess. Of, I guess that's the middle school out front.
That's correct.
So, how are you going to handle the traffic?
Because
that's our third issue.
Yeah, there again, it's going to start backing up, and it's a 2-lane road, even though it's a little bit wider 2-lane road compared to what it used to be. But we're going to have to probably add some more lanes just for stacking, you know, with that many parents bringing their kids there. You know, when they come to drop them off or pick them up in the afternoon. So we're going to have to make some road improvements.
Now, here is a text message that somebody has for us, and this sort of deals with traffic. Says, let me open it up another place because that's a little hard for me to see at that point. How can the community, namely students, parents, and teachers, effectively participate in improving the academic experience in our schools? We've been disappointed with the lack of standardization of timely communication compared to city schools and the bullying problem that puts some students in fear of attending school. I had not heard that before. But bullying, putting students in fear of attending school. What have you heard that story before?
I have not. Now, is that bullying from the administration or bullying from other students?
I doubt it doesn't say, but I would certainly doubt from the administration.
Matter of fact, I carried a bill when I was in the state senate a few years ago. I carried the bullying bill, which set guidelines for schools that they have to participate. And so if that's occurring, all I need to do is call the superintendent, Mr. Bill Spurlock, at the county school system, or get hold of any one of your county school board members and reach out to them, because there is a law in the books that I passed. I felt sorry for those who were bullied. I got bullied when I was in high school, you know, by a football player outside of chemistry class. You know, he'd take my head after lunch and put my head in the headlock and ran my head into a locker because he's three times as big as what I was. But I remember those days, and so there is legislation there in Tennessee Code.
This person has just texted back, and they said that bullying is a whole lot different. And they said it is students, but they're using Facebook and other social media.
And that's why I carried that piece of legislation, because if you recall, I remember seeing the story that was hit home to me about a cheerleader out in Texas, and the daughter of this lady, she didn't make the cheerleading squad, but her good friend, the mother, started sending text messages disparaging words against her and everything else, and she ended up committing suicide. So that hit home to me. And there was also a case up in, I use this in testimony when I tried to pass the bill, up, I believe it was at Rutgers maybe, or there was a student, he was in the band and had a scholarship to go to school on, and he had, was having a relationship with his roommate, and somebody had slipped a camera in there, a movie camera, and taped it, and then started showing it around school on their phones, and he jumped off a bridge in New York. Oh, so, man. You know, those type things were hit home to me that you can, you know, used to when I was growing up, you would say, I didn't do this, but people would write bad things about you on the bathroom wall, and telephone number, etc. Today they put it on the Facebook wall, and with the push of a button, it doesn't go to one person who walks in the restroom. It goes to thousands of people who you're friends with.
This person sent us a text back, and they said that they have tried to contact the people at the schools and also the school board, but they have a closed mind, that they're saying this is not happening here, that our definition of bullying may be different from theirs.
Well, tell them to keep trying. Don't give up on that, and keep, just go down the list and call each school board member. They'll find somebody that's willing to listen.
Okay, our phone number is 615-893-1450. Good morning. You're on WGNS with County Mayor Bill Ketron. How are you?
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi.
Is this me?
It is you.
Okay. Good morning, Bart.
Good morning.
Morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
I live in Smyrna, to the Arlington subdivision, and I have been trying to find out what person I need to convince that we are a part of the county and not the city of Smyrna. I need some road work accomplished, and everyone says, no, you are part of Smyrna. Well, we are an island in the middle of all the annexation that's been happening.
Who have you talked to? Have you talked to the road board?
I talked to Mr. Ward, I think.
What? It's called Greg Brooks. He's our road superintendent for the highway department.
Brooks.
Greg Brooks. He's elected, just like I am. Rutherford County Highway Department, and he'll come out. He's a great guy. He really truly wants to help everybody in Rutherford County, and he'll be honest with you and tell you whether you're in his jurisdiction or whether you're in Smyrna's jurisdiction.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's what I can't get anyone convinced, because I do not pay any Smyrna taxes.
Well, if you're not paying any Smyrna taxes, then you should be in the county, so Mr. Brooks should be able to help you.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Good luck to you. Call us back after you talk to him, and he comes out there, and let us know how that worked out for you. Thanks again. 615-893-1450. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be back. We have some more text messages. We've got some opportunities for you to call in with your questions. Whatever you want to talk about, landfills, schools, traffic, you name it, if it deals with Rutherford County, our County Mayor Bill Ketron is here to talk with you. 615-893-1450.
You're looking out for love in the night so still.
WGNS talks about all things local. It's Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett. Weekday mornings at 10 on WGNS, AM, FM, and online.
Come by our store, Music World in Drummer's Den. We're a full-line music instrument store with well over 5,000 square feet packed with great instruments in every category. In guitars, we're your local dealer for the two top acoustic guitar brands in the world, Martin and Taylor. We've got the best selection and prices anywhere in the state of Tennessee on these. This is Dave Kivenemi at Music World and Drummer's Den in Murfreesboro, 2762 South Church Street, across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
If you have a large group to feed or people coming in from out of town, one of the things that Demas's has to offer is our pans to go. This is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. We can sell pans of spaghetti, pans of lasagna, pans of chicken salad, and it serves usually between 6 and 8 people. And if you have something much larger than that, Demas's now offers full-service catering, and that you can contact our catering director through our website, which is www.demasrestaurants.com, and you can also pick up our Pans to Go menu there under the Menus tab.
Good morning. They continue to reconstruct this terrible crash that happened earlier out here on Weekly Lane just off Couchville Pike. Again, Weekly Lane at Couchville Pike. Avoid this area as THP reconstructs this accident. They are confirming that it is a fatal crash. Traffic still moving right now. 24 as you head towards Nashville. Watch your speed. If you're moving soon, call Smashville Moving Company at 584-4954. Check them out online at smashvillemovingcompany.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
We thank you, Chuck. What about that Murfreesboro weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro?
We'll see mostly sunny skies this afternoon, a high into the mid-90s. Winds out of the southwest of 10 to 15 miles per hour, gusting as high as 20. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 76.
Bazing and Elite Checking from First National Bank of Murfreesboro gives you more reasons to bank locally.
Dad, I'm at the movies and my car won't start.
First National Bank of Murfreesboro's Bazing has free 24/7 emergency road service.
First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, 615-494-4200. This is Freedom Wigan from First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC.
Turn your fingers into a microphone and talk back. WGNSradio.com is Rutherford County's online source for what matters to you. WGNSradio.com.
Welcome back. Yeah. Our phone number, 615-893-1450. 615-893-1450. You can talk or text on that if you have a question that's concerning you dealing with Rutherford County. Don't wait around. Don't wait until the end of the show and call us where we have 30 seconds to answer your question or don't even have anything. So call us right now. 615-893-1450. Our county mayor, Bill Ketron, is with us. You know, you let people know what you want, and sometimes you get them in the strangest ways. And, Bill, you have a story that sort of goes that way.
I do, Bart. This is, it's budget time. So we're in the short rows of trying to put together the county budget. And so I asked every department back in February to bring me a needs budget and a wants budget. And so the Correctional Workhouse Facility, I'd ask Bill Cope, our director out there, to – I really wanted him to get a dog because I did that when I was in the Senate with the Department of Corrections. It's a cheap way to sniff out cell phones and contraband of drugs being smuggled into the prisons. So I thought it'd be good if we had one to work at the workhouse. And, as we got into the budget, overseeing his budget a few weeks ago, I had to cut that out because we were just trying to pare it down and save as much money as possible in the budget. And while we were in there, my director of Paws was in there and overheard the conversation. We had to cut out the dog because it was going to run about $10,000, okay? So by happenstance, the very next day, a gentleman who was retired from the state of Tennessee walked into Paws and had a dog that retired with him, a drug dog that belonged to the state of Tennessee, and he put it up for adoption for whatever reason. Her name is Bella. She's 7 years old, and so he wanted to put her up for adoption. And so He called
a trained dog.
A trained dog. She's a Belgium. Starts with an M, but looks like a German Shepherd. But she's older. You know, and those big dogs don't live to 8, 9, 10 years old. Could be 11 or 12. Who knows? But anyway, put her up for adoption, and so my director Michael called me and said, "We have this dog, and I know you were looking for one for the correctional workhouse. Would would you think they'd be interested? And I said, yeah, y'all get together. So we have a vet on staff at Paws that can take care of the dog. And we have donated food that comes into Paws that we can help take care of the food cost. And so they've adopted there was a sergeant on first shift that adopted this dog, Bella, because his family dog had just passed away a couple of weeks before, buried it, and it was a big thing for the family. He's already adopted it, taken it home. They took her out and they hid some cocaine and some marijuana. She hid it first time. So she's still active, still got a good scent. And Bill Cope over at the workhouse says that it has changed the entire atmosphere in the workhouse. All the employees are just happy. She's brightened up the day for every time they see Bella walking down the hall. And also, as when she starts coming down the hall, there's a lot of commodes that start flushing. So,
well, and that's getting the word out to those folks.
Exactly.
Hey,
we have a dog. She's going to sniff it. Don't be bringing in any contraband when you're outside working, you know, in the workhouse, out on the road or somewhere, and you pick somebody throws off a bag of pot or something. Don't be trying to smuggle it in and doing the contraband inside the workhouse. So now we have a drug dog and giving her a second life. Bella's got a second life. So it's really a cool story.
That is exciting. And that's all happening here in the community. Nobody knew that this was needed or anything.
No,
it just all happened.
It all happened, and two agencies inside of Rutherford County working together, trying to help each other, and that's what makes Rutherford County, it's a pleasure for me to serve as mayor.
That is so great. What a great story. And we need to get a picture of Bella and have it for people to see. We'll put that together there. Your third item that you had mentioned, you said landfill was number one, schools were number two, traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, boy. What can we do about traffic? Are there some successful stories out there that communities have done something to reduce the traffic situation?
Well, you know, a few years ago I talked about it, and a lot of people thought I was crazy, but talking about doing a monorail down the middle of the interstate, at least I got the conversation going, whether it's good or bad. However, there's not enough room between the 32-mile stretch between here and Nashville to widen by another. There's just not enough right-of-way to put two more lanes in. That would cost about... if we did the two more lanes, it would still cost about $1.8 billion to do that. A monorail would cost about $2.3 billion. However, there's a system that we're actually looking at in Japan that takes the HOV lane and they put autonomous buses in those lanes, so nothing else can drive in there but the autonomous buses. Drive by satellite. People are going, oh, I want to get on a bus driven by satellite with no driver. Well, you know, right now, FedEx for the last 3 years have been doing pilots with autonomous trucks going from Knoxville to Memphis and back that are autonomous driven. They have a driver in there, but he doesn't have his hands on the wheels because it's being driven by satellite. So
what is he there for? Just in case?
Just in case, you know, going through this pilot. But autonomous vehicles are coming faster and quicker than people even imagine. General Motors is putting a stake in the ground because they want to be the first to level 4 or level 5 of autonomous vehicles. Tesla's at a level 3. It kind of self-drives itself. There's a company that I've met with last week from Barcelona that wants to come in either to Lawrence County or to Coffee County and put in a 5-mile, they need 1,200 acres to put in a 5-mile autonomous test track. They want to hire 1,500 engineers and 1,000 employees. They're talking 60,000 room nights in motels. So I kind of pushed them towards Coffee County because I got to come this way going to the airport, right? So autonomous is coming. And we do have a smart way. If you go down the interstate right now, TDOT's putting in. We're the first corridor. It'll be the first smart corridor in the state of Tennessee to where the fiber optic cable is there, and they're going to put signals over the interstate that'll tell you if the lane is blocked, you know, a mile and a half in front of you to get off at Sam Ridley, go down Murfreesboro Road, get back on at Waldron Road. It'll be a smart corridor.
What does the Highway Patrol put up that information? Is that who?
TDOT.
Okay. God, I was just thinking the Highway Patrol would know about the problem because they'd probably be
working. Yeah, and they automatically, once a 911 call comes in, it'll go to TDOT and the Highway Patrol, and then the signal will go up, and so it'll be in real time. And you'll, at that point in time, once it's functional, you'll be able to download an app on your smart device, either in your car or on your hip, and it'll tell you, the lane, third lane is blocked, and it'll have a red X on the sign, and then the other lanes will be with a green arrow, kind of like going across Memorial Bridge in Nashville.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with County Mayor Bill Ketron. How are you today?
I'm doing good. I've got a question about that, two questions about that. Several years ago, they was talking about building one from here to Nashville, and they just dropped it all of a sudden. I hadn't heard anything else about it, I guess because of the cost of it.
Yes, sir.
And secondly, wouldn't that be a state project? I would think that'd be something the state would pick up. It wouldn't be a county issue. And I'll hang up listening.
No, that is correct. It's not a county issue. It's state and federal because the interstate is federal dollars. So in cooperation with that, and I think that's what everybody's waiting on, all the Department of Transportation across the country are waiting on the federal government to release those infrastructure monies coming into the budget. So what we did before I left the Senate was the Improve Act, which added cents to TDOT and refilled their coffers, and that's why you're seeing a lot of local state routes being repaved right now and new roads being built through the state. But the interstate is federal.
Here's a text message. Says, I was wondering when Jefferson Pike was going to be widened from Walter Hill to I-840. They say, I live in Roanoke. And I hear sirens every day, fatal crashes every day almost in that area.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't see that coming in the next 5 to 6 years. Matter of fact, they're just now, they got approval just last month to go from Nissan Boulevard across the lake to 840. Coming in from Smyrna on Jefferson Pike. So that we've been trying to get that for about 8 or 9 years and just got approval. Governor signed off on it, so they'll start that construction. Unfortunately, going Jefferson Pike to Walter Hill is going to take a longer time. If to build a road in Tennessee today, if you started today and you had your environmental study done, you had all the other right-of-way acquisitions completed, because all it takes is one person to say, I don't want to sell, just like when they were trying to get 840 through Leaper's Fork, that one farmer held out for 8 years and tied up that connection going over to Dixon, Tennessee. But if you had all of that stuff done and ready to start moving dirt today, it takes 12 years to go through that process to build any road in Tennessee.
This is sort of going in with this now. We've heard all through the morning hours of a fatal accident this morning on Weekly Lane and Couchville Pike. That's in that general area, I believe.
Yeah, Weekly is down in Smyrna and going towards Percy Priest Lake, yes.
So that's a whole another situation then. Just a lot of traffic, too much traffic. And
23 people a day are moving in, and most of them, usually every family has at least two cars. And they're all working, as we talked about earlier, 2.1% unemployment. So a lot of cars on the road.
I'm thinking this guy is sort of tongue-in-cheek, but nowadays with technology, why don't they just cut down the hills? We have a text on that.
Cut down the hills.
That's right. Let's see. Here's another question. This one's dealing again with bullying. They say in addition to bullying among students, there's heightened fear every time an unauthorized person walks on campus and the school is put on lockdown, code red. How can we ensure student safety without it disrupting their day with fear and anxiety of the unknown situation? Boy, that's a worried parent talking.
Yeah, that's a tough call, but, it's on the minds of everyone. With recent school shootings around the country, and knock on wood, it hasn't happened here. But Governor Lee saw that as one of his priorities, and he has put money into it to hire more SRO officers. to put money into more security. I think Rutherford County, I've met with Director Spurlock, Rutherford County Schools. We're on top of that. We're meeting tonight at Public Safety trying to get new radio systems. It's an $18 million project that we've got to pay for, because right now, as you know, Bart, being in the communication equipment, our radio systems that we communicate with, from our deputy sheriffs to our ambulance drivers to EMA to our bus drivers, principals, all the handheld radios that we have are analog. And we haven't made that big leap. They've been kicking that can down the road for years and trying to patch it, spending $2 or $3 million here and there. We're going to take the big bite this year, and it's about an $18 million investment. We'll decide tonight if we're going with Motorola to go to digital equipment. That way we have quicker response in dead areas that we used to have inside of school buildings, et cetera. So we'll be putting up 10 microwave towers across our county to where better communication, so we can, our first responders can get there quickly.
Not only will that get you there quickly and give them more information, but it is saving their lives in some cases.
Oh yeah, communication equipment is so important. I know it's so costly. I mean, Motorola's the kind of the pinnacle of, if you're going to buy it, you want good equipment that's going to last a long time, but going to digital will really help all of our first responders.
When do you think that we will start seeing those towers built and that digital equipment put into effect?
Probably by December.
December?
Mm-hmm.
That's not that far away.
Yeah, matter of fact, the sheriff, they said that they told us last week, Motorola did, that if they can start getting the handhelds into the hands of our deputies and ambulance drivers by September. We're going to be using existing towers. We only have two spaces in the north end for green towers, which is just dirt right now. But it's about $1 million a tower we would have to build. We've also been offered by Williamson County and Metro to join into the Middle Tennessee Radio Communication, I don't remember what they call that, but sharing in a regional basis to where we can bounce signals off of each other's towers. Like in Nolensville, Eagleville could bounce off the tower that's owned in Williamson County instead of costing us another $1 million. So, but we're going to be piggybacking on the city of Murfreesboro's communication system, and probably right after the first of the year in July, I'm going to be transferring our dispatch from out where in South Park, and we're going to be moving into the police department's building and co-locating with Murfreesboro Police Department, with our ambulance dispatch, to where they're all in a hardened facility, and in the event of a, you know, whatever disaster, then we can go into a EOC situation downstairs in the basement and start controlling, you know, and dispatching from that standpoint.
This is exciting news. So the city of Murfreesboro and Rutherford County are working together,
yes,
hand
sir.
In hand.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to put the ambulance dispatch in the police department, the new police department on Highland.
On Highland, that's correct. So the mayor and I, Mayor McFarland and I, have a very good, close working relationship, and we're excited about this new move.
Our phone number is 615-893-1450. If you have a question, give us a call quickly. 615-893-1450. We're about to get into the final segment. So if you want to talk, 615-893-1450. Rutherford County Mayor Bill Ketron is our guest. We'll be right back.
I checked my service every second at Susan. You still hadn't come in.
This is Chip Walters, and you're listening to Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station.
Yeah, we got them.
MTSU Sports on WGNS, AM, FM, online.
When you visit Hoover Paint Store, you'll see that many of our customers have been doing business with us for years. Why?
Because they know we have the finest quality of paint, a knowledgeable staff, and treat every customer special. Hoover Paint Store has the paint you need to make any project shine. If it's not worth painting, call Neil's Dozer Service. They'll tear it down.
I'm Tim Bowling, and I'll invite you to visit our family business, Hoover Paint Store, on the corner of Memorial and Loki, or visit us online at www.hooverpaint.com.
Hear better. See Dr. Sean Lancaster.
Technologies continue to improve just like everything else.
That's former State Representative John Hood.
He wanted me to try a new one. I had a lot more capabilities. And then since then, whenever I have a problem or need a checkup, I guess every 6 months or so, I go in and he cleans them and checks my hearing.
Hear better. See Dr. Sean Lancaster, 608 East Clark Boulevard. Hearing aid and audiology services.
Ryan's Flowers Coffee and Gifts is once again starting back with our popular classes. We have a lot of fun with our classes, and we have had requests for some Sunday afternoons. We're going to offer that one time a month. And, of course, our once-in-a-week classes are back. When we're not having classes, people come in, they sit down, they have coffee, or they just bring their coffee on back to the back where we are working. Please feel free to come join us at Ryan Flowers Coffee and Gifts and feel part of our family.
We'll see mostly sunny skies this afternoon, a high into the mid-90s. Winds out of the southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour, gusting as high as 20. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 76.
Hi, this is Gator with Tire World Off-Road. We're your local Rough Country dealer. So when you're ready to add some character to your rig, ask for Gator at Tire World Off-Road on Memorial Boulevard.
This is Sean Brown at Tire World on Broad Street. Online at tireworld.us.
Please come visit our family here at Bell Jewelers. Father's Day is coming up in June. We've got some nice gifts for fathers. Hi, this is Lisa Halliburton at Bell Jewelers. We're on Broad Street, across the street from Toots. Bell Jewelers.
He's on your side, consumer warrior Clark Howard.
Save more, spend less, and avoid getting ripped off.
Weekdays 11 to 1 on WGNS.
Hey, welcome back. Congratulations going out to Lola Martin. Lola is a great mother, it says, and helps people all the time. And she is the good neighbor of the day, receiving flowers from Ryan's Flowers Coffee and Gifts. Lola Martin, our good neighbor today. And our birthday club winner who gets the goodies from Simply Pure Sweets Bakery and Cafe is Ruth Kreimer. Happy birthday, Ruth. Our phone number is 615-893-1450, 615-893-1450. Rutherford County Mayor Bill Ketron's with us. Here's another text question for us this morning. Why are builders allowed to build new homes so close to the road on Jefferson Pike? If the road is widened, the road will be at their front door. I've noticed that in other neighborhoods, too. You wonder, there's not a whole lot of room there to widen the roads, because I guess, what would you do in a situation like that?
That creates some real problems, and that actually comes back, I think, to our planning department and also the planning committee, that they should be conscious of that. And that's what I've struggled with, Bart, is since I've become mayor in September, I've found that different departments in government have all been operating in silos, different silos, and not communicating with each other. So you've got the highway department, you've got public works committee, you've got planning commission. Things are being approved without talking to each other, and we just found that out recently about the new acquisition of two locations for schools that the schools wanted, one in Walter Hill and one in Christiana. Well, the one in Christiana, the infrastructure is okay for Walter Hill because you've got 231 running right by the track of land that the county wants to buy. But the one in Christiana, it has three different roads coming in, and they're all rural roads, very rural roads. They're not wide enough for two school buses to pass. And so now, because the school board was just interested in buying a tract of property and putting a school on it, they didn't care about the infrastructure, you know, which is crazy. So just this past week, we've got it coming to Public Works Committee. We've dusted off an old a checkoff list that goes back to Nancy Allen when she was county mayor. The county commission adopted the checkoff list, meaning the planning commission has to check off on it, the county road superintendent has to check off on it, the county engineer has to check off on it before any property can be purchased. Everybody has to check off on it. I mean, we bought that piece of property in Christiana. There's no sewer. I'm not sure if there's enough soil to put in a step system. So in order to bring sewer in, the closest sewer and water is going to be 4,000 feet away, and you got to cross over three different farms to get it there. And now the county is going to have to step up and bite the bullet. Instead of it costing $19,000 an acre to buy the school property, by the time you do all the infrastructure around it, which wasn't anticipated, it's probably going to cost us $50,000 an acre. And that's what frustrates me of no communication when we go out and buy things or we approve things to be built, where the right-of-ways are and with anticipation of future growth. It's just very frustrating to me, and I'm trying to get people to start communicating together.
And it's too late. They've already bought
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
So they have the power to buy things without communicating.
Yeah, exactly, and it just doesn't make sense. And then if we want to improve the road and widen it, then we're going to have to go through a process trying to condemn it, you know, for right-of-ways and pay people two or three times the amount of what it's actually worth. It's not the way we need to be doing business.
I guess the big question, do you think there would have been property available that had the amenities that you needed?
Well, I don't know that. You know, they just all of a sudden come up and say, we'd like this piece of property.
And we've already bought it.
We've already bought it. You know, it's like, this is crazy.
So, wow. The cat's out of the you know, who knows?
Sure. And why we never... Why we let that slip by and not use the checkoff list that everybody is informed of what it's going to cost us. And that way the funding body, the county commission, the funding body needs to have a true look, because once it's at the tax rate, you know, so they slip it in at $18,000 an acre. You think you're getting a bargain, and then all of a sudden you turn around and going, oh, we didn't tell you about that. And you didn't ask those questions.
Whoops.
Yeah.
We have a minute left in the broadcast. In this final minute, we're not going to go to... We've got some phone calls, but we can't go to you. You waited too late. In the final minute, anything that you want to be sure we cover that we have not talked about?
No, Bart, this is... You know, we talked about growth, all the bad things that come with growth, but, you know, our unemployment's great. We have great... like you said earlier, the word is out. We have great school system. This is a great place to live. Rutherford County is, that's why everybody wants to come here, because I think the word has gotten out and our secret. And I just don't want to lose, you know, the feel of Rutherford County, the historical values. I mean, I was able to get the county commission. We passed a new ordinance or a new resolution. We're going to be the first county in the state of Tennessee that, under a new law that allows us to give a tax break for those who want to go in and rehab historical houses or commercial buildings. So we'll give them a deferment on their taxes if they spend over $25,000 and start rehabbing these old buildings instead of tearing them down, building new structures. That's the feel of Rutherford County. Matter of fact, I did a story just yesterday with Fox 17 about that, about our historical. Greg Tucker is the chairman of that new committee.
Bill Ketron, our county mayor, our guest this morning on WGNS Murfreesboro. It's 9 o'clock.